Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us once again. We are joined by Joe Magziarez. He is the vice president of the Appraisal Institute, and he will be the president of the Appraisal Institute in 2011. Joe has 38 years of experience with the Appraisal Institute, teaches many courses for them, as well as goes to foreign countries and teaches them. Joe, welcome back.
Yes, thank you, Bruce.
Why are we teaching courses in foreign countries? Are the laws of appraisal universal?
Well, they're not, but they will become that way. And we have been approached by many countries, in Estonia, in the Ukraine, South Africa, we're in China, South Korea, Japan, Germany, a number of countries. And what happened, being the world being flat or a global economy, is up to this point, and I don't know where it goes from here, but everyone wanted to be able to make mortgages they could sell in the mortgage-backed security market, package them up and sell them.
I see.
And so that kind of led a rush to find out how do I write an appraisal that can be understood in transferred and valued universally. It's sort of like an aircraft controller has to do everything in English. So
okay,
it's pretty much we're the world leader in that education and valuation.
Yeah, it reminded me of sign language or something. Okay. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of an appraisal. What's the ultimate goal of an appraisal?
It's to give a well-supported opinion of value of what a property might be worth on a specific day. And within that, you have to understand that the value today is this, but it might take 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, or something to get your money if you were to sell it. In other words, it's not really liquid. It's not exactly sunk capital, but we have to give it a value. This would be worth today, but understand, it might take today many months to sell a property.
Sure. Well, I would imagine most of the appraisals are for sales. Is that true?
Actually, a lot of the appraisals that were being done were refinances as rates were dropping.
Okay.
They were cash-out equities. They were 125% of value loans. So a lot of the upside-down mortgages were upside-down when they made them because people could borrow up to 125% of the value of the property.
Okay. What would be an acceptable margin of error for a residential appraisal where you have a house that's worth – well, an appraisal comes in at $400,000? What would be an acceptable plus or minus for that?
Well, it would depend on the intended use or user, being it for a mortgage. A relocation company wants you to be within about 3% plus or minus. That's a pretty tight range. But appraisers generally should be within 5%, probably not more than 10% out of that value range. If they are, somebody's making wrong assumptions.
Okay. What is the definition of market value?
It would be the price that would be obtainable on the day, given that a buyer and a seller understood the property, what it was for, and one taking a price and one paying a price, neither one being under pressure with no undue stimulus. In other words, it's not a pre-foreclosure sale or a short sale, something of that sort. And that's what makes the market tough today, because a lot of sales are short sales or foreclosure sales, and those don't represent market value. Those are liquidation prices.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second, because this is a very real issue where we are in California. So let's consider the sale of a lender-owned property. It's in rough condition, needs about $40,000 worth of work, and basically this is our business model. We buy that house and fix it up, and then we resell it. The property sold for $100,000, so you just said that you don't feel that represents market value, that as-is selling price, by a lender who's had to deal with a foreclosure.
Are you talking about before the fix-up or after?
Before the fix-up. The $100,000 was the purchase price, let's say, of an investor buying that property. $100,000 as-is.
An investor usually requires a discount based on the risk that they have, knowing they have to hold the property, pay taxes on the property, invest capital, and then have market risk of being able to sell that property. So that probably would not be considered market value, because if there's one thing banks don't want, they don't want to own your property.
Well,
so if they can move that property, usually you can get a pretty good price on it.
Okay. Okay. When an investor puts in this $40,000 worth of work, does the fact that the $40,000 was spent increase the value by the same amount in the appraiser's eyes? And I mean, could you care less about how much money was put in recently?
No, I'd absolutely want to know what was done, the cost, and to look at, is the cost equal to value? Or in many cases, you can get premiums for things you do above cost.
Okay, well, yeah, that would be the idea, obviously, for us, because if we were only going to get our $40,000 back and make no money, we wouldn't want to be in that business, that's for sure.
Absolutely, and that's why I mean the price you pay to get a foreclosed property so that you can do that is probably bought at a discount. So between what you paid and your investment, you expect to recapture that plus some risk money plus a profit, and plus you want to recapture all your cost and holding costs. So often, if you make the right renovations to a property, in most markets, you will make a premium on that.
Does the ultimate buyer that moves into the house, who agrees on a price, are they determining market value by their willingness to buy?
Well, the interesting question. I'll try to shake this out for you. In a way, yes, but as a matter of fact, probably no. But if you have that home and it was purchased, fixed up, and if it's offered in the open market, exposed, and there's more than one buyer. In other words, a number of people look at that, and eventually the market comes to an offer price that's accepted. That's a fact. The fact is price. It may or may not be value. And so what an appraiser has to do is try to look at as many properties that are similar to that at a number of prices, say, what's the most probable price someone might pay on that based on this other data? And in that market value is always an opinion. In other words, it's not a fact. It's nothing more than an opinion, but often they can be very similar. Unfortunately, a lot of times appraisers look at total cost or they look at a sale price and they go to that number without being fair. And I think that's one way to undervalue a property significantly.
This is the problem that we're running into in California. We would expect that our margin might be, let's say, a $30,000 gross above costs and then minus sales cost. And what's happening is we have multiple offers on a property. And I'll just give you, a pretty typical example where we bought it for 100, put 40 in, and we have multiple offers willing to pay 170 for the property. The appraisal comes in at a less of a number, and if we have multiple offers in a very tough market, I guess I'm wondering, and this is why I'm asking your opinion, if you have multiple buyers saying that 170 is the number, why isn't that market value if it isn't?
Well, let me try to address that. First of all, it may or may not be, but if you're a well-trained and competent appraiser, you will understand that the market is telling you what the value is. You're not supposed to be telling the value. You're supposed to estimate based on market reaction. There's been numerous times when, especially in markets like today, where sales may not be happening as often or as current as I like or as similar that I like. But an appraiser should look at that asking price and the marketing on the property. And I've had brokers come and say, well, I've got four backup offers on this. I said, fine, send me the backup offers. I do. I call those people and verify those. And you would be justified then possibly making a market condition adjustment. Because when you have a screwed up market like it is today, it's very tough to find market value. But, if there's four or five consumers out there and 20 people looked at it and five put in an offer of a similar price, that should be a really good indication what the value might be.
What if there were no similar comps because there were no fixed up homes?
Well, I think that's when you would have to really study the listing markets and competitive properties. And by looking at, okay, they're offering 170, what else could I buy for 170 that's on the market today? And you're going to probably find out the listings similar to yours are probably asking a price higher than that.
Well, actually, this is the issue. The listings that are available most of the time are as-is, lender-owned, and therefore 100 grand. So we have a situation where you've got virtually no comps at 170, but you have multiple offers when you have that fixed up property. So the concept of substitution in the appraisal world, where a buyer won't pay more for this house as long as there's a similar home available, that type of concept. The problem is
absolutely. I mean, the principle of substitution is very fundamental in today's market. It's the same way we met with National Association of Home Builders. I talked to one of their directors yesterday and said, we're having a real problem because the builders are building these houses and the values aren't coming out. And I said, the market's telling you don't build anything new right now. You know, as long as there's an oversupply in the market and marketing times are extended, then you would expect a soft market. But lacking good sales, you need to go beyond that, and you cannot always hit the Freddie Mac or the Fannie Mae guidelines. So you probably should try to hire somebody that has a professional designation like an SRA or an MAI or SRPA that has residential experience to do that. But it puts a lot of people in a tough spot right now. But appraisal theory says to do just what I said.
Yeah. We have a market, let's say, in Victorville, which is a first-time home buyer area, and got a lot of new buyers in there with a lot of subprime mortgages, and they've had a very big problem. 90% of all the sales are vacant REOs, either auctioned off or priced very low, and then you have very few very repaired properties. So when you have that repaired property, you might, in fact, have a willing buyer for a very different price than the REO inventory. And that's where the problem is the appraiser is not – I don't think they're getting cooperation at all from the lender on the fact that there's – okay, there is really no comps because there's no similar property to this, yet the consumer has said we want it at a higher price. So it's a dilemma. And
it absolutely is a dilemma.
Okay.
No question.
When I could see this happening in the 04 and 05, we would talk to appraisers and they would feel that they were under pressure to come in at a number, and it usually was higher because somebody was trying to get to a refi. Is the opposite possible to happen in a downturn, where an appraisal was supposed to be a value as of a day, but the lender knows they're in a declining market? Is there pressure to the appraiser to come in at a future number instead of today's number?
If it's for mortgage lending purposes, the answer would be no, unless it was subject to some sort of repair or renovation over the next few months, where it'd be prospective value. But no, they should value it today, because the market today is where it's at. Lenders can make loans in declining markets and not be in trouble.
Okay.
If a purchaser has the capacity to pay and they have the credit rating and there's the collateral. So you have the three C's, collateral, capacity to pay, and credit rating. But we did hear yesterday some testimony from a few people to Fannie and Freddie that appraisers were using short sales and foreclosed property sales, and that's completely inappropriate because those are not representative. They don't meet the definition of market value. Those properties are in duress, so there's no way. You could say a liquidation value, yes, but market value, they would not represent that at all.
Okay. We need you out in California, because what's going on for the appraiser is pretty tough. Pretty much when they appraise a property on a sale, it's going to go through a review appraiser. And the review appraiser usually reduces that appraisal by somewhere around 10%. And if that happens, and this is actually what's going on, if that appraisal is lowered, there's a very good chance that the original appraiser doesn't get any more work from that lender. So knowing that, the original appraiser now is starting to back off what is market value to make sure that the review appraiser has nothing he can do. And you start doing that, you start having problem, because you're deciding on your own that market value is less than it is.
Well, if we were in court, they would call that witness intimidation, wouldn't they?
I think, you know what, I really do feel for the appraiser, because to me it seems like it goes on constantly. What percentage, honestly, would you say the appraisal assignment is given and then they're just free to come up with the number?
Well, if they're a reviewer, They're held under USPAP if their license is certified, and they should be if they're doing a review, because it's a technical review, if they're going to change a value. To comply with that, they must meet all the requirements of Standard 3, which means they have to develop their own opinion and state that. To arbitrarily add 10% or detract 10% because that's the way you feel, that would probably be looked at as a USPAP violation. And so they're required, if they're coming up with a different opinion of value, or even if they concur with it, they do a certain work. Often that's not done. Many times it's really not done by reviewers.
Okay. It's not done by reviewers. Who is it done then by?
Well, it should be done by reviewers. I'm telling you, they're not following the same license laws that the appraiser has to follow.
Right. Okay.
And so perhaps, you know, an appraiser might, and they're not going to probably have very good luck, but if you could ask them, send me a copy of your review appraisal so I can see your justification and support for lowering this value.
Yes.
And most of them say, blah, 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 but if HVC goes through in things, then a borrower is entitled to a copy of the appraisal at least 3 days prior to the closing. And if a value were cut, they would be entitled to a copy of a review appraisal supporting that. That would have to be done because the basis for the loan is not the first appraisal, it's the review appraisal, which is under USPAP Standard 3. So they should be entitled to have a copy of that. Lacking that, there may be actionable grounds. I don't know.
Does the review appraiser typically go out in the field and, since they're going to come to their own opinion, perhaps, do they do that from a desk or do they do that in the field?
Often I think it's done from a desk or they look at an AVM or something. But remember, USPAP says that an AVM is an estimate. It's not an opinion of value. So if they base it on an AVM, that's not market value. That's an estimate of value.
Okay. Yeah, that's my gut feeling is what's happening. That somebody's.
It may be. In all fairness, and I'm not trying to protect anybody, but lenders look at, you know, probably in a month thousands of loans. I talked with a guy from Deutsche Bank, and you know, they do 10,000 mortgages a month or something. And I'm not trying to defend anybody, but what I'm saying is perhaps maybe they're not given the due diligence that should be given there, given that, you know, that there's a lot of people affected by opinions, and being a professional appraiser my whole life, I believe, do the assignment, follow the rules, and do it correctly. And you know what? You can't do that quick and cheap. And quick and cheap is what got people here. If a reviewer is reviewing 20, 30, 40, 50 appraisal days, they're not doing the adequate, probably not giving due diligence.
Now, who does the review appraiser usually get compensated by? Is that by the same person that pays for the original appraisal, or is that done by the lender?
Either a management company or the lending institution will hire a company to manage their review process.
Okay. Real estate normally, and I forget if there ever was a normal year in California, but in the last decade, we've either been screaming upwards or screaming down. How difficult is that for an appraiser to have such violent changes of, say, 2 or 3% a month?
Well, I have hundreds of friends in California. I'm amazed that they can work in your market. You're so volatile. I'm in Rockford, Illinois, with about 60 miles northwest Chicago. We might have a 3 to 6% a year change, and you know we're about even now, or changing maybe 3 or 4%. So we're even in this mess. We never had the big run up. So whatever goes up fast can come down fast, and it's certainly a challenge. And that's why only the best people should be doing these appraisals also. And unfortunately, the rules say the lender gets to choose the appraiser, but in some cases, you need to find out, are they actually doing an appraisal, or are they using an AVM, or did they use a BPO? Someone needs to look at that appraisal, and if there was a review done, and they base their value on that, then I would think that the borrower should be entitled to a copy of that.
Are there?
They might have to pay that fee to get it, but they would be.
Probably be worth it. Are there some new rules coming down the pike? There was a situation where Governor Cuomo, I know that there was some kind of perhaps new requirements, and I just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, he was the one that made the deal with New York. He's the New York guy with Fannie and Freddie, who you know.
Excuse me, I had the same problem.
And they call that the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, HVCC.
Okay, that's what you were talking about.
Take effect pretty soon, and essentially what that says, on any new loans that they purchase, they have to have an appraisal. Anything existing, they can probably use something less than that. It also mandates that the borrower get a copy of the appraisal at least 3 days prior to the closing. Of course, if they undervalue the house, they don't know if there'd be a closing. But the fair lending laws also state that a borrower is entitled to a copy of the appraisal. They either have to give him one when it's presented to them, or they have to give them a form to sign saying they're entitled to a copy of the appraisal. But HVC goes a little further. One of the problems today, I believe, is the rampant use of management companies.
Yes.
Who become a middle person.
Yes.
And often, if a fee, whatever it might be, the management company might actually keep more of that fee than they give to the appraiser. So while an appraiser shouldn't do less because of the fee they get, often if they're not paid appropriately, they're probably not going to spend sufficient time.
We can usually tell that's being done as the picture is being taken while the car is still moving.
Yes, you use Google Earth to get your photo.
That's right, yeah. You know, we go to auctions to buy properties on occasion, and when we're sitting next to somebody that has Google Earth for the picture and Zillow for the estimate of value, we know we're next to somebody that's going to have a big problem.
Yeah, Zillow's a real treat around here. It doesn't work too good. But.
No, I mean, you know, it's certainly... it comes in with a valuation, but sometimes it's radically high or low. So it's probably, if that's what the AVM does,
that's
scary.
Yeah, that's very similar to what it is, yeah.
Wow.
It's a mathematical model that may or may not be good.
I probably created by the same guy that said the subprimes were perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't want to bash any company.
I'm only kidding. How long is an appraisal good for in a market like this?
Well, actually, the value date is for one day.
Okay.
But generally, prior to this meltdown, if you want to call it that, usually Fannie said they could be good up to about 6 months. I don't know that 6 months would be relevant today if the market is still moving fast in one way or another in markets.
Yeah. In California right now, if you have a comp that's 60 days old, that's about the limit.
Right.
And that's why it's just very difficult to... get an appraised value because there are so many more auction sales than completely rehab sales. When you're in a market that has declined like this, how do you value improvements such as pools or somebody goes crazy and they spend $100,000 on the backyard with the brick and the barbecues and all that? How does an appraiser look at that and say, okay, we know this one is a lot better, but how do you value that in a marketplace appraisal?
Well, those have always been tough because those items are considered amenities where the cost may be equal or less than what is spent.
Correct.
And when you have an inactive market like you do now, it's very problematic to try to put an exact value on what that might bring in the market. One way might be look at how many of the sales that are occurring have these amenities. If a number do, then they're probably really desired and they're really important, and so they might carry more weight in value.
Is it fair to say that in a declining market, those types of goodies always bring less than they do in a booming market?
I would say that's very probable.
Okay. We've got about a minute left. When you mentioned Standard 3. How many levels of appraisal are there?
Well, today there's after 2008, January 1st, there's a trainee level. This is someone new coming in.
Okay, Standard 3 has to do with the level of expertise of the appraiser.
No, Standard 3 is a regulation.
Okay.
So Standards 1 and 2 govern appraisals, then Standard 3 governs review appraisals. And
okay.
In total, there's 10 different, like the 10 commandments, if you would.
Okay.
Except Moses had it on stone, you know, a piece of stone, and ours is 300 pages long, so the bureaucracy.
Okay. Well, Joe, thank you very much for helping us clear up some of the appraisal issues that we're trying to figure out in California's market. We've been talking with Joe Magziarez. He is the vice president of the Appraisal Institute. And, Joe, you've been a big help today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. If anyone needs more information or to find a good appraiser, you can go to appraisalinstitute.org, www, and find an appraiser. It's very easy.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.